welcome back to another episode this week of Providence Coffee Talk. Pastor Charles here, and I am excited to come to you guys this week. And I've been back and forth a lot about what we're going to be talking about and discussing today. And so I hope that it goes well. And I'll be honest with you guys, I am really looking for some ideas from all of y'all. I would love to know, like, if there's something that's on your heart or if there's something that's on your mind and you feel like maybe, hey, this would be a cool topic to talk about. This would be a cool topic to discuss. Please send those things my way. I'm kind of running out of ideas, and I don't know about you guys, but there's moments where you get into a dry spell and you're like, hey, wait a second. I have nothing left to talk about. And there are certain things that I could, and there's a lot of things that I could just, I don't know, crack right open and say, hey, we're going to talk about this. But I want to make sure that what we're discussing are the things that interest you. And so I would really love any of your input, any of your thoughts, anything that you have. It doesn't even matter if it's church related. Maybe it's family related. Maybe it's work related. Maybe it's culture related. I don't know. Anyway, I just want to encourage you guys, send in some thoughts, send them some ideas. Let me know what's going on in your noggin toboggan, and we'll do our best to think about it. I know one of the questions I get asked this week especially has been, hey, what were your thoughts on the Super Bowl? Honestly, I have no thoughts on the Super Bowl. I remember watching most of it, but getting bored throughout that game just because it was fairly boring. But that's just me too. I'm not a big sports ball guy. So you may be a sports ball guy and you're like, oh man, that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. Great. Like, it's all subjective. So anyway, but there are just different things that are going on like this week and things that are happening. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've got something on your brain, if you've got something rolling around in there that you said, hey, I wonder what Charles thinks about this. Send it my way. Charles@pbcshawboro.com. You can text me if you've got my number, or you can just find me on Sunday and say, hey, I've got an idea. With that in mind, though, I do want to at least mention a couple things that are going on in this wet, wet weather. I'm really ready for the rain to stop. I feel like you should only have to wear rain boots like once a day and not like 10 times in a week. So, but I really like for the rain to quit and to postpone for a minute, but who knows what's going to happen there. But a couple things just to let you know about, even in this wet weather. This Sunday is our women's ministry, or our WMU, Women's Missionary Union. We call it Baptist Women's Day. It's like, pick a name, right? So we have Baptist Women's Day coming up this Sunday. And this is a great time to kind of learn just a lot about what our Women's Ministry Union does, and the different outreaches that they have that they're working on throughout our community. And they just recently did one where they put together care packages for nurses at the local rehab facility. And so that was kind of an exciting thing to see them do. So you're gonna hear some things about that, and you're also gonna hear about some things that God does through the ladies of our church. So this Sunday will be a great day to be here at Providence. I want to encourage you, make plans to attend. Also, our kids are singing, and anytime our kids sing, it is a great, great day. So be here. You're not gonna want to miss out. I'm gonna have fun. I want you to have fun too. So who knows, maybe I won't wear a tie this week. Scandalous. Anyway, be here Sunday. You're gonna have a good time. And then also some other things that are coming up this coming Wednesday. So Wednesday the 19th, we have our men's Bible study in the book of Daniel kicking off, and that's gonna be cool. I'm excited about it. It's gonna be at 6 a.m. You're not gonna want to miss it. So make sure to be here for that. And then we also have our parent conference coming up. That's going to be exciting. That's in April. So make plans for that as well. And then we also have Lent coming up, which Lent starts here in March, and that's going to be a fun time too. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that throughout, you know, kind of some times coming up about ways that you can celebrate and do. And so I want to encourage you, be thinking about that as well. All right, let's talk about coffee for a quick minute. If it sounds like I'm a little bit disheveled, it's just, again, because there's been so much going on this week and I haven't had a chance to really pull my brain together and tell it, hey, you, even though you want to be asleep, you have to work, you have things to do. And so I've really enjoyed coffee this week because it's kind of helped me keep my brain focused and my brain together. It's helped me kind of get everything kind of in line. So today's coffee is essentially a Brazilian natural that I roasted at my house last night. And I'm going to be honest. I took a page out of my buddy, Nick Mascala, who, if he's listening, shout out to you, buddy. But Nick and I talk a lot about roasting coffee. And, one of the things he does is, right when it gets to that first crack, which you, if you've never roasted coffee, as moisture releases from the bean, it begins to crack. And so it toasts it or it roasts it, but also it begins to release moisture, which opens the bean, which causes it to crack, and you have an audible crack. First crack is really one of those times where you can still get a lot of that flavor of the bean and you keep it without burning it. But he always told me when he was roasting on his roaster, like I have, that when it got to that first crack, he would just immediately pull it and then pull the tray out and start cooling it down. I haven't gotten to that point yet, but I did get it to kind of that first crack, and then I just immediately opened up everything, started cooling it down. Being that it was colder weather, it didn't take as long, but I want to say this is a pretty stupendous cup of coffee. It's pretty well-rounded, which is why I like Brazilian coffees anyway, because they're pretty well-rounded. But I did a good job. And so I'm kind of impressed with myself. Anyway, so today is a Brazilian natural. It's a good cup of coffee. So let's take a sip. And let's get into it. One of the things that we always talk about here is when I sip my coffee, I sip it really loud. And I do that on purpose. I have a friend who occasionally listens to one of my episodes, and she doesn't live in North Carolina, but I like to always call her out on stuff where I can. And so I mainly do that to annoy people in my life. Occasionally, I like to make fun of them. Not make fun of them. That's a terrible way to say that. I like to poke at them a little bit where I can. And so if you ever go, golly, Charles, you could do that like not that loud. Sorry. One of these days, maybe I'll grow up, but I've yet to do that. So one of the things I want to look at today is, you know, last week we spent some time talking about conflict in the church and how do we deal with conflict? How do we handle it? How do we understand it? And then how do we begin that process of working through it and then being to the point of being a peacemaker in the church? I am naturally this way, but there are just times in our life where that just can't happen, right? There are times in our life where we can't just simply handle conflict as it comes. And I have been in several situations where the goal was to diffuse or to bring some sort of resolution or resolve into a situation. And you get in the middle of that situation and you're like, there's just no way that this is going to be resolved. And there have been moments too where you get backed in a corner and you feel like the only way to resolve a particular conflict is by giving in. So like not really focusing on your passions and desires, but just honestly just giving in to the whims of people. And I've always found that to be a little bit frustrating too, when you're backed into a corner and you're kind of forced to just be okay with whatever's going on and just to accept without being able to really value or have your opinion on something. One of the things that I try to do a lot within my ministry is I try to promote and explore avenues of healthy conflict. And believe it or not, conflict in and of itself is not bad. Conflict can actually be healthy and can produce a great amount of discussion within your organization. And so one of the things that we always talk about is how do you then cultivate a culture of conflict, but you have that conflict within the range of construction instead of deconstruction. Construction is going to be so much more vital and pivotal to an organization or to a relationship or a family. But you also need to have healthy conflict in that, because a lot of times within that conflict, that's when appropriate changes get made, or the right changes get made, or the right things get done, as opposed to just things getting done. I always would struggle and worry about being a church that just does programs versus being a church that does intentional programs. It's one thing to say, hey, we need something for our kids to do. Let's build all of these things out. And then to say, we need to create programming that is intentional for our families, and it works within our youth and our kids and our children, our nursery, and all of these things play together to create within the family unit a cohesive structure and program and plan that drives them forward. But when you get in those conversations, sometimes what happens is people say, well, we've always done it that way, so why change it? We've always done it like this, so why do anything different? And that's where good, constructive, healthy conflict comes into play. And so I want to take just a quick moment and expand on this just a little bit more in terms of how we are to... In terms of how we are to better understand the way that conflict can play out in the church, we always want to avoid it. And we're always trying to avoid conflict when and where we can. But there are ways where conflict can play out in a healthy way in the church. And I want to just kind of outline some of that constructive conflict real quick. A lot of times when we think about conflict, we think about conflict from the stance of personal attacks, or even just like destructive argumentation. And this is a good way to really describe conflict, I think, in our personal lives at times, because most of the time when we understand or have to deal with conflict, we usually feel like it's an attack against us. And I think this is a common thing among most people, where whenever there is an adjustment, or whenever there is kind of a shift in a mentality or things like that, we usually feel like, well, is am I just wrong? Right? Are you just saying I'm wrong? Are you saying that I'm not right? Are you saying that what my ideas aren't good enough? Are you saying, and sometimes that's not it. I think that sometimes we look at those situations and we say, well, obviously they think I'm not smart enough to handle this, so, you know, I'm just going to push back against them, or I'm just going to shut down, or I'm going to, you know, not talk, or whatever. But conflict really is more than that. I think constructive conflict, especially within an organization, or even within like a way that we could better interpret it, is more like a productive ideological debate. It's a way in which we can get down to the root of what's going on, but also in a way where we can build upon that, where we can have difficult conversations, where we can have tough conversations in order to grow and expand to where we need to go. And one of the really causes of the fear of having good, productive conflict like that really revolves around the idea of trust. Trust is a big piece of that. Considering that trust is one of the big cornerstones that we build a lot of our relationships, then I think that trust is one of those things that has to be evident. And when there is an absence of trust, when you don't have trust within an organization, or when people of the organization don't trust the leadership of the organization, i.e., like for our context as a church, a congregation to their pastor, or a congregation to their deacons, or, you know, things like that. When there's an absence of trust there, people are going to be hesitant to really engage in debate, because they can't trust that that other person is going to be there to actually be concerned about where they're coming from. Right. And this is something that has to be built over time. One of the questions that comes up to me sometimes is, you know, especially from other pastors, is like, what's the first thing that you need to do when you take on a position within a church? I said, reality is you got to build trust. the people need to know that they can trust you and that you're actually concerned about them and you care for them. And one of the things I always strive to do and I try to do is I work my tail off for my church, because I find that it's important to let my church know that I care about you. I love you guys. I want to know that you are succeeding in life, but I also want to know that you're succeeding spiritually and that you are growing in your relationship with God. And I'm going to work myself to the bone to make sure that I'm providing you opportunities to grow. And so, you know, we get to these points where we have to understand that sometimes conflict cannot be, or productive conflict can be absent from an organization because trust is absent from an organization. And, you know, one of the other things too, I think that happens sometimes is there's a fear of conflict because people tend to avoid disagreements because they want to create this like artificial harmony. I remember sitting in a staff meeting one time at a church that will go unnamed, but I remember sitting there and having these conversations, and we were at a retreat, I think in Oklahoma or something like that. And one of the questions had come up about, you know, are we fulfilling our church's purpose? And I'm a young pastor, and but you know, I still remember to this day the church's purpose statement, and I remember thinking in my head, and I was like, I don't really know that we're fulfilling that, because I knew that we were having programs in place, but we weren't seeing the fruit of that program. You know, the budget was down, our expenses far exceeded what we could bring in. We were hoping to get just individual donors to contribute, to make money happen for the church. And it just kind of was like, I don't really know that we're fulfilling our purpose as a church, because part of that purpose was to make fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And I don't think that that was happening. I think that we were making fully devoted followers of being a part of a suburban church, but I don't think that we were making fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And so there were aspects of that, I think, that were there, but I remember pushing back in one of those conversations, and it really went south for me, because it was one of those situations where you don't disagree with the pastor, you just agree. And so everybody gangs up against you if you disagree. And I'm like, wait a second, you know, I thought we were here to talk through these things and express our concerns and different things like that. And so it caused me for the rest of my time there at that church to just simply lock myself away and shut down, because the goal for me was just to create this artificial harmony. And I remember that church too. I got called out one time because another church member overheard something else that was not even taken the right way and was way out of context. And I remember getting called into the pastor's office like I was a kid in trouble with the principal, and they were saying that I wasn't building loyalty and trust. And I was like, that's not even what I said. That's not even what happened. But you know, there's a point where you get to the point where you say, fine, whatever, and you just move on. And it was always a hard part for me, because there were moments in there that I think really could have developed good, strong, healthy relationships within the staff of the church. But everybody was just there to try to create an artificial harmony. And I think the other thing that happened too is we were always afraid of the negative consequences as what would happen if we spoke up. And so really all of this kind of damaged our workplace culture, because the culture didn't foster open debate. It didn't foster, kind of this debate type style where we could really get down to the core of what's going on. And really, I think it's just there was a lack of trust. And I know from my end, after I felt very defeated and very pushed away, it really presented a lot of distrust to me. And I ended up not being there much longer after that. So one of the things you always want to do is you want to say, well, then how do we encourage healthy conflict, right? Because if we understand that if there's a fear of conflict, and the fear of conflict can cause poor decisions to be made and poor things to happen, then how can we encourage healthy conflict within our church? Well, I think one of the things is, again, just start by building trust. right? I think just fostering a vulnerability-based trust so that everyone within our congregation can feel safe in expressing their thoughts. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think there are some times we just don't trust the other people across the aisle. The pews in front of us, or the pews behind us, because we don't know how that information is going to get used. We don't know how that information is going to get spread. Sometimes I'm finding out about information. I'm the fifth or sixth person that's been communicated with on something. And I'm like, wait a minute. How many people has this gone through before it's gotten me? And so what that does is, in time, is it causes people to have this level of distrust that exists. And so the one thing that we can do to create healthy conflict, and that one thing that we can do to really build upon healthy conflict, is build trust with one another. When the people know that the pastor cares about them and is excited for the future of the church, and when the pastor knows that the people are desperately working in such a way that they are fulfilling the Great Commission in everything that they do, it helps build that trust with one another, right? So that's one of the big key ways I think that we can encourage healthy conflict in a church and allow conflict to exist where it can be important for the church moving forward. Another thing I think is encouraging constructive debate. You know, I always ask every single Wednesday in the middle of my talk, because I, at the end of it, and I really want people's opinions. It's not just a padding. But I ask them, what are your thoughts? What are your questions? What are your concerns? What are your fears? What is something that's on your mind? What, maybe there's something here that you disagree with and you want to push back on it. Let's push back on it. And there are times where people may point something out and I go, okay, I need to better correct that. Because I understand the way that they heard it and the way that it got interpreted. And that's not the way that I meant for it to be interpreted. So I need to correct that so that it's better communicated. And that's stuff that's encouraging, because it shows that no one really is above each other. Not one of us is really above the other, but in reality, we're working towards the same desire and we're working towards the same goal. And so we encourage constructive debate. I remember sitting in one of our Bible studies, here at Providence, and, I made a point, I feel like the theme of this book is da 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 da. And we had somebody push back and said, actually, I feel like the theme is more like this. And I just sat back as a pastor and said, you know what? I never thought about it like that. That's fantastic. Like, why? I don't know why I can't. My brain, for whatever reason, was blocking my ability to see it in that perspective. But once I could see it in that perspective, it opened up a whole new world. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. So that's why it's important to always feed off of each other and encourage one another. And I think one of the other things too is we have to kind of mine for conflict. And this is kind of a weird thing to maybe talk about. How do we encourage healthy conflict? But I think one thing that we do is we have to actively bring up underlying issues instead of letting them linger. I hate being in a meeting and talking about things in circles and no decision being made. That's one of the things that really annoys me like crazy, because I want to know, okay, what is the decision? What do we need to do? What can I work on? How can we make this happen? But one of the things too is sometimes I intentionally mine for conflict, right? I actively will bring up some underlying things and expose them out into the open, because what we'll do is we'll just kind of let things kind of linger and we'll let things go. And if you talk to any of our deacons that have been around me, they get frustrated at some of those meetings, because it's like, all right, Charles, shut up. And we do it in a loving way, though. We don't do it in a way that really brings anybody down, but we do it in a way that says, let's get to the core of what's going on here. Let's really understand this issue. Let's bring some things to the surface so that we can make sure that we're getting everything out on the table. And then I think the last piece is, and this is what I talked about a minute ago, but is clarify the decision-making process. One of the things to encourage healthy conflict is clarify decision-making. Separate your discussion from final decisions. You have to make a decision. At the end of the day, a decision has to be made. I've said this before in one of our meetings, and when we started talking about adding projection screens into our sanctuary, and when you, again, looking for mining for conflict, this is an issue that's popped up twice before at Providence with a lot of great support. But it's also had a lot of like, hey, this is not the right time type stuff. And so you have different people on both sides of the spectrum that'll say, well, I disagree with it. And other people say, I agree with it. One of the things that I told, I think it's our deacons in one meeting, and as I pretty much just said, hey, listen, the reality is that even if this gets brought up and even if it goes before the church and it comes to the point where we vote of whether or not we're going to do it, we have to get to a point to understand that even if it gets voted down, it doesn't mean that that it's not going to be brought up again. It's going to end up being brought up again. Somebody's going to mention it. And so we have to make it a point to say, it's not a matter of if, but when. And we got to define what that when is going to look like. Not the W-I-N, but the W-H-E-N, when. We got to make some decisions. We got to move forward. We got to decide, is this something that's going to happen? And if we know that in the future it is, and if we know that in the future it's very possible that it's going to happen, then when do we decide when that future is? Is it 5 years down the road? 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road? Is it 100 years down the road? You know, what are we looking like here? And so one of the things I like to do is I really like to hone in and say, let's make this decision. I don't love things just lingering around, but I say, let's just knock this out as best we can. So clarifying that decision-making, right? And really, really allowing that to happen. So conflict, I think, is essential for strong teamwork. I think that conflict can have very negative connotations in the church when it's not handled right, especially when there's like lack of accountability, when people don't understand their roles and responsibilities, and when things just aren't clearly spelled out. The other thing that I think can happen too is a lot of times you can have bullies within the church that bully to get their way. And I've seen this a lot within pastoral leadership. A lot of pastors that bully their way and they intimidate their way. And they, on the surface, you don't see it, but in the background, when you meet with them, you have this fear of like, if I disagree with them, they're going to come down hard on me. I've always tried to make it a point where me as a pastor, I want to hear people. I want to hear from people. I want to hear their thoughts and ideas. And I may not agree, and we may not do anything with it. But for me, it's more important to be heard and to be considered. And so I've served under pastors that I remember when I was in college, I served under a pastor that when I was doing youth ministry, I said, hey, I've got some seniors. I want to buy them a senior gift. And the pastor pretty much told me, he said, no, you're going to give them what I've always given them. And that's what we're going to do. And there's no discussion about it. And I thought, well, golly, you know, cut my legs out from under me, you know? And I've always learned from these other pastors and from some of their strengths and from some of their weaknesses. And I know that there's probably going to be someone down the line that's going to say, you know what, Charles showed me a lot about this, but he also showed me a lot about what not to do here. So I think that's just how we work things out though. Recognizing that conflict is existing in every church and in every format. We're going to have it from every level of our church whatsoever. But we have to make sure that we have to get to a point where the conflict, it doesn't destroy us, but we use it in a healthy manner to see ourselves move forward so that we can share the love of Christ with people. We can see our community transformed and changed, and we can allow the love of God to permeate everything that we do. So whether or not this resonates with you, I don't know. Again, let me know if you've got some thoughts or ideas. I would love some ideas about how to move forward on some conversations and just the way that we can talk about the things that are interesting to you, talk about the things that are on your heart and on your mind. So if you've got a thought, an idea, even a question about today or a concern about today, email me, charles@pbcshawboro.com. I promise you, I read those things and I look at them. So email me and I would love to get back with you. Other than that, hope you guys have a great rest of the week, and I can't not wait until Sunday to see you guys. So see you on Sunday.